cliffcentral.com.
360 Biz on cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to another amazing installment, almost said episode. I'm so used to watching TV these days because I'm spending a lot of time with my son, so I'm forced to watch everything from Generations to whatever the case is and C-Spy and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's been particularly interesting because I think my entrepreneurial takeaway from that is that I'm seeing so many dramas coming up, but, I mean, one of the biggest things that I've seen is that, I mean, if there is no differentiator or anything that sets them apart from anything else, then they actually become monotonous and similar to everything else. But I mean, I'm in studio with my boy, Teboho Mafodi. I mean, I thought this guy was going to be in Cape Town. Now he just showed a Vumbuga idea with the green bag, green swallows bag, as if he was going for trials and whatever. But I mean, we're in studio. We're happy to be here. Tell a friend to come join us today.
Yeah, no, man. I'm supposed to be in Cape Town for the Cape Town Fun Fair. I've actually left by the plane fit, you know. You see at the airport when they say check in 30 minutes before, they're not kidding, dude. You must check in 30 minutes before. Because, dude, I was there 1 minute, you know, over 30 minutes, 1 minute. And being there 1 minute over, I couldn't check in.
Yeah. Now, I think what happened to me, I mean, I think last year was my worst flying experience because I got there late. Mm-hmm. And because of the fact that I got there late, I had to buy another ticket.
Exactly.
And I couldn't swap this one out for a discounted rate. I literally had to fly BA down to Durban. And coming back, they dropped me off late at the airport again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to make sure that because that one left and there was no other flight. I mean, I think it was the last flight at about 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I literally had to pay double. So I did a back and forth, but I was actually doing one trip. So, I mean, I think it happens, and you know, us as entrepreneurs, you're trying to get the deal in before you get to the airport, you know? So while you're trying to get the deal before you get to the airport, then you're faced with the challenge of, you know, keeping time.
Yeah, no, definitely. And dude, what's happening? Where are the guests?
Nah, man, you know, I was shocked. I think for me, where it hit me, I mean, from the moment I drove in, parking lot is empty. It seems like there's no one here.
Okay, for me, that's the first thing. Yeah.
And then as I was walking up the stairs, I mean, it's silent. I walk in, I look at the couches, the waiting area, it's empty. I come into the studio, it's empty. Then I think to myself, nah, man, I think that today we're going to be flying solo or they're running a bit late. Mm. You never know with these things. I mean, you know, time in Joburg is something else.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, today I'm in Bulelan, we're supposed to be talking about being downgraded as the country, the junk status that we are claiming, we found ourselves in. As a country, I mean, I was listening in the morning that now we've got two agencies that have downgraded us, you know, to junk status. So today, I mean, as topic, it was mainly to understand, to say what it means to be downgraded to junk status as a country. I mean, it's something that definitely we wanted to actually get into details, to actually get explained, I mean, to hear more, you know, as to what it actually means for us. I just hear that, you know, it's something that really affects us, our credit rating as a country in terms of acquiring loan and everything in that fact. I mean, in December, the Standard and Poor rating kept the country sovereign credit rating at, I mean, one notch above junk status. I mean, with a negative outlook, Bulelan, while Fitch and adjusted its outlook negative from a stable. I mean, it's something that definitely we didn't see it coming as a country, because I think we've managed to stay up notch for the longest time. But you know, there's something that killed me though with the junk status thing is that the minute after it came out, then the Minister of Finance says he knew about it a week before, you know, as to we were going to be downgraded, as to but why he couldn't tell or say to anybody as to why we were downgraded, or he already knew. It's something that for me that still puzzles me to today. Eh?
Sure. I think, I mean, it's a, you know, the downgrade, I mean, you find different organizations trying to play it very light. And by that, I mean, we've heard certain individuals saying that if the rand falls, we'll pick it up, to people highlighting the importance of the downgrade. And I mean, to a certain degree, I mean, the downgrade plays a big role because, and you know, when I was reading, I think I read an article in the, I think it was in the Destiny Man on their website. I'm not sure if it was Destiny Man or if it was News 24. I'm not sure. But this person was talking about, you know, the big impact of the rand falling or the rand being downgraded is it's not going to hit the people that are loaded and have the money, but it's going to hit the guys who are low level earners, the most
the guy on the street,
the rate for them to lend and the rate for them to borrow money and to purchase some of the goods that they need is going to go up crazily higher.
Yeah, no, but you know, but how do you think though it affects them? Because the people that I mean, it's said that it actually affects them. Those people don't really know themselves as to what is the junk status and what it means. You know, they don't understand it. Because I've asked a couple of people as well to say, oh, do you know what it means for us being on junk status as a country? And they don't. So it's something that is worrying, and I'm asking myself to say, if ever the very same people that it affects and they don't know what it means. For me, I never have heard of it. I mean, until obviously I was in business and recently being in the junk status itself, I never thought it's something that really that would affect us. But the question is, am I starting to see the effects of it? Not yet. You know, as to I've not started seeing it. Have you started feeling the effects of it?
Not yet. I think, I mean, even for me as a layman, I mean, you know, the rating, I kind of looked at the rating as, you know, they're just trying to rank us and to then say that we are not number one, we are number two. But I mean, to have heard of the financial implications, you know, obviously to some point, it's going to harm my employees, you know, it's going to harm my employees, it's going to harm my immediate community. And I mean, with the economic plight or the challenges that we are facing at the moment with the country, a downgrade is one of the hardest things, even though we are economically right now doing a little bit well with the prospects of the rand strengthening in the next couple of months.
So are you sure it's going to strengthen though?
You know what? You know, someone said optimistically that, you know, the rand has been through the worst. I mean, it's been through the worst around the 90s and all this stuff, and it was able to come back up. And the biggest thing that person was telling me, I think I was speaking to Timothy Maurice, I'm not sure, but he was just saying that, you know what, it's all these things that are happening around us need to blow over. All these things, the politically we need to be stable and politically we need to be more structured. This rattling is rattling that is necessary because there is a screw or there is something that went out of alignment. Mm-hmm. And we now need to make sure that we get it back in alignment within the politics and the private sector and whatever the case is.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's something that is actually interesting. So for me, I mean, there's a view that I liked, Stephen Grotes, you know, was explaining, a brief as to what, according to him, junk status is. Maybe let's have a listen to it.
South Africa has a credit card. If you've ever gone and asked for credit, you'll know they look at how much money they think you're going to earn and whether you're a good credit risk. Essentially, what's happened is that the ratings agency have looked at South Africa and said, well, we don't really like the way you're managing yourself. We don't think that you're managing yourself as well as you could be, and you're not as good as the managers you used to be. And as a result, we're going to put the interest rate up. We think you're a worse risk. So we'll still lend you money. In fact, we'll lend you lots of money. We're happy to do that. We're going to charge you a lot more. And what that means is that there's a lot less money for us as South Africans to spend on other things. And we don't just need it to buy a new car. We need to spend this money on paying teachers' salaries, on making sure that nurses and doctors get the money that they need. So what this means in the end is that South Africa has less money to spend on the things that really matter because our credit card is more expensive than it used to be.
Yeah, no. So, yeah. So for me, I was fascinated by that, especially for a person that Bulelani uses credit card. I mean, I travel a lot. I'm always using credit card, and without a credit rating or being downgraded itself, I've always known that the credit card interest, my credit card interest, it's one of the highest there is. But now, if ever you're gonna find ourselves now caught up in this. And now the rates are going to go higher as well. So, I mean, it's something that is actually tricky, you know. Mm. So then I think it's something that we really need to be informed and find a way of how to actually go about, you know, understanding better and especially a layman on the street, for us who are in business, you know. But somebody else was saying to me, mainly for businesses that are cash businesses or that are not really necessarily operating on credit, they might not really see the disadvantage of us being downgraded as a country. And the most interesting thing that happened, Brian, is that after we got downgraded, banks started following. I know the likes of Investec and the likes of Standard Bank and many others, they started dropping as well.
Yeah.
In terms of their rating. And what started happening is that now it started to create a panic in this financial market. I know for a fact, I've got a friend I'll try to bring on the line as well.
Yeah.
From Allianz Insurance, that they deal then a global company, and fit with them, it was a question of now they had to actually use now their rating for their international company to their clients, because now being an insurance company, now it means what their rates that they need to charge their clients need to go higher, and their claims book, it's starting to become affected by this credit rating.
No, man, I think to the greater scheme, I mean, the guys who are abroad, doing business abroad, are heavily affected by this. I think, I mean, from an investor perspective, where we are an emerging market, I'd love to believe, and Africa is an emerging market, and I mean, you see South Africa leading on the African continent in terms of, I mean, our GDP hasn't been growing that much, but you see us really soaring at the moment, and that is going to affect the development and growth in terms of the infrastructure with other countries and investors that are coming in here, because one of the biggest things that we are looking for from an entrepreneurship perspective, from an infrastructure development perspective, from a social, from an eco-social perspective as well, we're looking for these investors to come in and invest in the country. So, I mean, it plays a very big role in terms of the partnerships that we have, the strategic partnerships that we have with other alliance partners, because as a country, we do sometimes play in the deficit area, and if we play from the deficit area and have to borrow billions, that means that we're going to be charged an arm and a leg, and we cannot afford that at this moment, because we're dealing with crises like, I mean, the fees must fall, we're dealing with crises like water shortage, and I mean, just this morning, when we opened up, I mean, the news, you were seeing riots and people protesting. And I mean, the protests that are happening in Kagiso, oh, yes, and all these other areas, I think it's part and parcel of that. I mean, it might not be at a greater scale, but those are the things that we need to save the interest or the extra amounts that we pay on whatever loans we take on a country, so that we can refinance, or rather retake that money and develop our own people, so that we build a much stronger economy at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I heard about those, you know, training, those riots that were taking place in the morning. And there's about plus minus 50 people, Bulelani, that have been arrested this morning in regards to those riots. And even schools, I mean, Department of Education have actually held kids from going to school because of these riots. And the most interesting thing, but I mean, what you're saying about that is that I for me it became worrying that there's close to about 20 something schools that have been banned. I mean, to date, to say, I mean, not only that we find ourselves in the predicament that we find ourselves, me specifically being in construction, I know how much it costs to actually build one school. So now with their budget obviously now failing to meet some of the requirements there is, those schools, it means they need to be rebuilt. And them being rebuilt, it means now there needs to be more credit that is applied for or that is been given to government. And the more credit that is being given to government, it's been given at the higher rate. And for me, it's one of the things that I think have always fascinated me, especially being serious with the research, Bulelani. And I mean, I've realized that as a country, it's always encouraged, especially by American or by corporate, that we must take loans with an IMF, International Monetary Fund. And with this International Monetary Fund, Bulelani, I mean, when I was doing research to say, who is this International Monetary Fund? I came to an understanding that it's a bank, it's an American Reserve Bank, that has been created by few individuals with deep pockets to actually get countries in debt. So right now, while coming to an understanding to say, for you now to go to a bank to actually get debt, one thing that the bank would require security or surety. And with that surety, what will be a surety? It will be your house. Your car would necessarily not be a surety, but it will be your land or anything that they could actually hold on to. So now, for me, it's some now it comes to a question to say, if ever now a country is going to go to an international bank to actually apply for funds, to actually get, you know, that loan, obviously they want a surety. What is surety? You know, so for me, I mean, in the research, the little research that I did, it came to say, I mean, the little surety that is, surety is me, surety is you, surety is our kids, surety is their kids' kids, you know, and minerals and everything of that sort. That's why at the end of the day, politically, there's companies, American companies and everything else, that would come to the country, and politically, they wouldn't even be stopped. I mean, like, look at the deal that I remember we discussed it on the show here last year when we had, after the president had signed off the chickens that were coming from abroad for them to be sold here. You know, it's something that really affected the chicken and farming market of South Africa as a whole. So me having been traveling a lot in America, I mean, America, I remember I came back and I told you that pharmaceutical companies are the ones that are practically running the country. And with that, I mean, they go to an extent of even spraying the air. I mean, I remember the weight that I had gained being there. And I said, the food is so good, but you could even tell eating some of the food that here you're eating chemicals. Because there's no way you'll have a chicken with a thigh that is as big as a turkey, dude. You know, and it's a normal chicken. So it means with a turkey, how big does it have to become? It means it would become half of this table. You know, so it's something that for me, I mean, I think that is worrying. And at the same time, I was researching this morning to say, who are these, you know, rating agencies? I mean, the rating agencies, the agencies that are actually internationally based, they rate every country. You know, so for me, for you to realize that really the country is being influenced by business is that immediately after the Minister of Finance got fired, then it's when the news came out. You know, so and at the end of the day, who controls corporate South Africa? I mean, it's big companies, it's individuals that are within corporate, you know, and some of international companies that are out there, they're actually having interest in South Africa. They're having businesses that are well represented here. And for me, I mean, it's a crisis that I think we find ourselves in. And I mean, even came across an interview, I mean, by the former minister, Pravin Gordhan, when he was in London. And he was saying there's a sense of urgency to ensure, I mean, that as a country, we don't fall to junk status. And I mean, it's something that we have already done. And at that meeting, he was actually meeting with some of the investors in London to actually speak about the stability of the economy of South Africa, you know, and it's something that he was trying to actually be in a position to save us as a country. The question is, did he manage to save us? No, he didn't, you know, and I've had an opportunity to speak with some of the investors as well, still in the same UK. For them, they had said that they have not started really seeing the spills as yet, as far as us dropping as that, because I really afterwards, after we got dropped, the rent became stable for some time. Even it was worrying, because every radio interview you're listening, how, why is the rent stable? You know, there's a change of the Minister of Finance, there's a, you know, there's a drop to junk status, and it's after 2 weeks, I think, that it started dropping and it started becoming a worry to a lot of people. But I think, Bulelan, I want you to hear some valid points that the minister is saying in this interview, and you tell me what you think about it.
Perfect.
They understand our budget numbers, and they understand that we've done very well as far as managing expenditure and revenue and debt and the deficit is concerned. Secondly, they want to know where are we going to get growth in our economy from? And thirdly, whether we can assure them that our key institutions, the Reserve Bank, the Treasury, and other institutions are operating as in a way that they have learnt how they operate in the past. And that's the assurance that we've been able to give, that we are all doing our job and we are trying to get the economy going. But importantly, we are involved in conversations with both the business sector and the trade unions to create a joint South African team that can create confidence in the South African economy and in South African society. And so far, we've had positive responses.
The difficulties that were faced in the finance ministry in December hit the headlines worldwide and put the South African economy in the spotlight really for the wrong reasons. How tough has that made your job?
Well, we've had, 7 weeks in order to tie up the budget in 2016. And as a government team and as a treasury team, we've done very well to present a coherent picture, as I said, about managing government finances and knitting together a plan that will try to take the economic growth to a new level, and above all, involving other role players in society who have a big influence in our economy, be it business or be it labor, and getting them into a partnership that begins to sell South Africa as one that is continuing as a favorable investment destination. Whether you're interested in our debt, or whether you're interested in shares on the Joburg Stock Exchange, or whether you want to come and invest in the real economy of South Africa.
How serious is the threat of that downgrade in terms of going to junk? Or what would it mean for the ministry and South Africa?
But as a country, I don't think we want to get into junk status, nor does the corporate sector want to be in junk status, nor do workers want their companies to be in junk status, nor do South African citizens who are going to face higher inflation, higher costs, higher prices for imported commodities or goods want to be in a country where we find ourselves in that position. And that's why we have the sense of urgency from all of us to work together to sell one South African story and to get people to believe in our story. But they're not going to believe it just because we say so. What they're also asking for is tangible proof that we are moving in a different direction, that we are collaborating with one another, and that we have concrete projects which will demonstrate that collaboration is not just in words, but in action.
Finally then, can you sum up the message that you want to put out to global investors when it comes to investing in South Africa?
Look at the world today, as one of the business people said this morning. There's no absolutely stable environment anywhere in the world, either in the advanced economies or in the emerging markets. So at the end of the day, it's about risk and reward. And South Africa has the best business infrastructure on the African continent. It's got a very highly sophisticated financial and services sector, and there are huge opportunities for growth in the real economy. But equally, we've had a very steady and prudent fiscal policy for the last 15 to 20 years in our democracy, and there's no reason to doubt us in terms of our ability to pay our debt whenever it becomes due, which is what the credit rating agencies and investors are interested in. And similarly, the Joburg Stock Exchange gives marvelous returns to those who are invested in South African company shares. So on a comparative basis, we still constitute an excellent proposition for investors into South Africa.
Yeah, Bulelani, for me, it's yeah, no, it's shocking. Because you see, I mean, this is a UK correspondent, you know, for some big publication there, that was actually interviewing the minister. So now the minister, you can tell, he's trying hard to convince him, that we've got a plan as a country to actually save us. You know, so for me, it's something off now. We find ourselves in this predicament that we find ourselves in, being dropped. Then now all of a sudden yesterday, there's tweets that were going out between the minister of finance of finance wife and Buthlem Khize. You know, so because now the first shock was that, I mean, I remember the interview yesterday. There's somebody that asked the Minister of Finance, because who was formerly the Minister of Home Affairs, to say, do you actually work with your wife, or what is happening? Because the wife decided to take on an interview, and she said she came up with an IT system for Home Affairs. So she was the one who was assisting the husband and doing this and all of that. So now the country now is worried to say, as the business community, how do we know that this woman now is not also running the finance, you know, ministry, of the country? Mm-hmm. And obviously out of that now, I don't know what she said, about the ex girlfriend of the minister. So now the ex girlfriend decided to start defending herself.
Yeah, and I think on my side, when I read that thread, it's very incriminating and then throws and casts a lot of doubts in terms of our finance, you know, because I mean some of the things there, I think, you know, would need to be taken serious to the point where they are looked into by officials. But now the question is, I think the roll call in terms of the order there as well from someone who's occupying such a high position, how do you have your wife even entertaining any form of interviews, you know?
Yeah.
Then it then goes back to that agenda that we are not pushing a social development agenda or economic development agenda, but we're pushing a celebrity agenda. And we cannot have that agenda because I think it's when one knows what their place is. And if you've got baggage, deal with it privately. So that when we see you on the platform, we understand and we know clearly that you'd be able to administer the finances properly. Because I think I also have some questions in terms of how the financial new minister was appointed. I mean, it cast a lot of doubts. Mm-hmm. And when you see what has happened in the past 14 months, where we've had literally over 5 or 4 ministers of finance just going up and down, up and down, up and down. So that does really play a big role in terms of our country and from an investor readiness perspective. And these are the investors and angel investors that we need as entrepreneurs and SMMEs to come into the country and put down some of their money.
Is it? So now, I mean, Bulani, you're raising a valid point. But however, the minister, after he came into power, he kept on being confident that this junk status didn't happen because of him. He said there's no way that one person came into power and the junk status happened. I mean, according to you, do you think he had an influence, or the president had an influence in terms of appointing him onto the position of Minister of Finance, that it really affected us so bad that it dropped us?
I think from my side, I don't think that he had any power to do that. I mean, I think as the story is relayed, he also only found out in a phone call the night before. But what I do know right now is that, I mean, he's there, he's in a position of power. So, I mean, the decisions that he's making are going to be very key in the development of our country, really, and where we want to go as a people and as a community. Mm. And which is why we need those decisions to be as sober as possible, so that we are able to achieve what we are trying to achieve as a developing country.
Mm. So now, I mean, so it's something that for me, because right now, when it happened, I remember it happened close to midnight. So all of us were grayed up. I remember even in the morning, people were posting to say when we were sleeping, we had no minister of finance. Then the following day, we wake up with a new appointment. So for me, it's something that one, I had a problem with, but okay, for me it was a good thing that at least young people were being given an opportunity to actually be in power or to actually sit in position, because I mean, compared to other countries, we still have some of the oldest you know, political leaders. I think it's not only in South Africa, but in Africa as a continent. You know, people that are really sitting in positions. Then came France yesterday, I mean, with a banter of a new president elect.
No, yeah. Man, I think I smiled. I mean, I smiled when I saw that. I mean, 39 president. It says something about the state of, it says something about the state of France, and it's going to say a whole lot in the next couple of months, because more innovative ideas are going to come into the play, more inclusive commentary from young people. And I'm hoping and believing that that is what is going to happen, because we've got a lot of young people that have got fantastic ideas, and there is a big disconnect between what is happening on the ground and what is happening with the men that are occupying the high offices.
Okay.
So when you have someone in the mid area who's able to take this information and bring it in, and take this information and bring it in here, and then formulate some form of a program or structure that is going to be able to balance the two, then I find that to be one of the most phenomenal things.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, but now after what happened now yesterday with the Norma, Norma Lady, and Buhle Mkhize, issue. Now I start asking myself, worrying myself to say, did the president make a good decision though? In terms of appointing a young man into the financial ministry, did he make a good decision? In terms of thinking that, in fact, his status of readiness to actually be in a position of, because for me, I don't have a problem with being a minister of finance, but if you're going to have such a lot of baggage following you, being that, I mean, that puts our, you know, rating at risk, because now there's a lot of things, obviously, that influence rating. It's not only in terms of how investment readiness, but it's obviously political environment and its influence. I mean, you know, so I think gossip and a whole lot of things, I mean, they bound to really influence us. I can imagine wherever he is at this point in time, you know, he wish he could actually disappear or this happened. And right now, the lady claimed that the wife is the one that provoked him. So for me now, that's why I'm questioning to say, was he ready or is he the right candidate with debt in the closet to actually be the Minister of Finance? Because right now they say he's on the payroll of the Guptas. So it's something that obviously I saw on Twitter, and Julius Malema actually exposed.
I think, I mean, that gentleman always has breaking news. But, you know, for me, I think if we are going to be, you know, Judge Mkhwe-Mkhweng, I think it was last year when he delivered a keynote speaking about high moral integrity, high levels of moral integrity, especially amongst public servants, because public servants are the people that we entrust to be able to administer the agenda of the people and further fulfill it through the implementation of whatever programs or whatever solutions are required by the people at the bottom. So, I mean, to be in such a high position and to find skeletons and things coming out the way that they are, obviously, if I was in that position as well, I'd want to hide under a rock, because it really discredits me and in terms of me in what I want to do, you know. Mm-hmm. But would we get over this? I think that we would be able to get over this, but I think maybe not to overstep people's boundaries. But I really feel like the minister must have a very calm conversation with his wife in terms of the media and how the media would portray some of the things that are happening, so that we do not have such instances. Because locally, it's our business, but this business is also broadcasted abroad, where it weakens us in front of our competitors and fellow African countries and the global spectrum.
Yeah. No. Definitely, it's something that I think it's very interesting. Do you remember though the exposure that Julius gave?
Yes, that was crazy.
Yeah. No, I'm sure. I mean, the people out there they might not have listened to it. I've actually managed to actually find it, and for me, it's something else. They said he was the man to actually rescue. Politically, ANC, and to actually rescue us as a country. But obviously, after this, I'm not sure anymore. Let's have a listen.
Front page. Every time I speak about Mel and Guardian, I mention Matuma because he's the most seasoned person. I don't even mention the editor because she's extremely challenged. So I don't want to talk about him. So I mention Matuma because he's a seasoned journalist. He has been there. And I know him. The first interview I did when I was elected president of COSAS, the first newspaper to interview me, a serious newspaper, was Mail and Guardian, and it was Matuma. And that is long time ago. So I know him. That's why I always say, when I say Mail and Guardian, I say Matuma. Don't think there's anything against him. Put Malusi Gigaba and Mbalula. And they say young lions. Those are young lions without teeth. There's nothing young lions about Malusi. If anyone hopes Malusi can rescue the ANC, then the ANC is hopeless. You know, the recent example, which is extremely personal but necessary, is two women fighting over Malusi, a minister, and has got no control over them both. If you can't handle such a small thing, how can you handle a complex company called South Africa? Malusi was running the election of the ANC in 2014. Malula had to be called again to rescue it, because Malusi is hopeless. The same thing with Mbalula. Now let's finish Malusi. Malusi is also on the payroll of Gupta's. Remember, he gave that girl from outside 300,000. I don't know what it's called in dollars. Where will the minister get 300,000 to give cash to give a concubine? Minister becoming a blesser with a stolen money. 300,000. We said this before. It's only those who are in the Gupta's payroll who can afford to bless with 300,000. This one called Mbalula.
So, yeah, no.
I think most of the things that he has said so far have proven true. But I really feel like from an economic perspective, if we are to recover and grow as an economy, then we need to make sure that we, you know, I don't know. I think completely clear the veins and completely clear the ones who are in power right now so that we can make room for real movers and shakers to come in and take the fort.
No. I mean, for me, it's something. And the interesting thing is that Malema always tells us these things and we don't believe him. You know, and when they happen, it becomes a shock. So, and for me, I mean, it's something that is worrying, because if ever we're going to be affected as business and as a country, it's something that we really need to really take into consideration. And it really needs to be something that, that is taken serious. And for me, because right now, at the end of the day, they're saying small business, it's actually there to improve the economy of the country. I mean, we're there to contribute in the employment, of young people and increase employment economy and this and this and all of those things. But now, if ever we're going to be affected, because if big business is affected, big business don't give us business, and it means we become affected as small business. Mm-hmm. So for me, I would expect that the government needs to be the one entity that protects us, needs to be the one entity that actually stands for small business and that creates opportunities not only for us, but for a whole lot of other people out there. So, but now, if ever we can't even rely on the very same government, if ever right now we're going to be in with a minister that is not trusted, or that is not taken serious because of the scandals and everything else. And right now we find ourselves being dropped as a country. Instead of focusing on lifting our rating as a country, but we find ourselves defending ourselves and taking on, the opportunity that is set out there. But we find ourselves in trouble. We find ourselves worried. We find ourselves, some of us that always interact with people globally, having to defend us as a country to say, no, we're doing well. No, it's not as bad as the media makes it look and everything of that kind. And right now as well, we are being attacked as the media. They're saying, the way we cover things, we need to be in a position to make us look good as a country. We need to do this and this. So it really puts one in an awkward position to say, where do you actually lie, as a small business? And where do you lie actually as a media practitioner? Do you now not communicate what is happening? Do you now have to sugarcoat things for the sake of protecting our image as a country, for the sake of protecting our economy? For me, it's a very thin line there, Bulelani, that I think we need to really figure out as to how it gets handled.
No, definitely. I think with that all being said, we are here as young entrepreneurs. And I mean, we're hungry to help and put a lending hand, a helping hand with regards to our government and the development. And we have programs that are real. The one thing that we want is that monies must not be squandered on things that are not required and things that will not benefit the development of the country, when we have real programs out there that with the right funding would make the government's job move much more swifter and much more easier. I'd love to then also then further extend a comment to then say that holding a public post or administering a public position doesn't necessarily doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you are there to defend or you are there to look out for your own interests. But holding a public position is a position that we need to look into, as to then say, you know what, this is the position that we need to be able to influence development and growth for the country from a social development perspective to an entrepreneurial development perspective, to then say that we are servants and we are going to serve. Because even in entrepreneurship, what we are trying to do every day with our products more than anything is to serve the greater good and to serve the community through whatever products that we have, because our products really are mainly made and created to solve whatever problem. Because where there's a problem, you will find entrepreneurs coming with solutions. And what we then need from our public servants is just to be that servants more than anything in the public domain, and serve the greater good and serve the people that have elected them into those positions, so that we move and we grow as a country, so that in the next installment we are able to move up as a country in terms of our ratings, and we also are able to move and point to real growth and real businesses that we have developed as a country as well.
Definitely. I mean, I think you've said a mouthful. It's something that I think as well, as society, we need to understand the power that we have as individuals. We need to understand the power that we have as business people, to say politicians are dependent on us. You know, we are not necessarily dependent on politicians, because right now I think they've taught us and given us so much power of dependency that we don't know that we have the power to put them in power. We have the power to remove them from power. So that's why we don't really necessarily use the power that we actually have within ourselves. But for me, I think, Bulelani, it's a good thing that today, I think it just was just a reflection of how are we affected by this drop of the junk status. How are we affected by, you know what, the drop of the rating of the country? Because it's something that I think we never really have an opportunity to actually discuss amongst ourselves and actually look at it, to actually discuss it. Something that we hear in the news, something that we see out there, and mainly would hear our guests discuss it. But I think I'm glad that, you know what, today it was an opportunity for us to actually discuss and dwell more into it, and more than anything, give our own opinion, because I think we are very opinionated about this. So good thing we have an opportunity to actually be opinionated on the mic. Other people don't, and for us to actually, you know what, provoke other people that are listening out there, the layman on the street, you know, somebody that is in business, somebody that's sitting in offices listening out there, because I've seen as well tweets and social media is actually responding to the discussion that we're having, to say it should be our responsibility to understand how are we affected as people, you know, by this drop to junk status. It is our responsibility to affect as well, to actually see how better can we improve ourselves, to actually be in a position to contribute little or whichever way, you know, to the improvement of our economy, of the country. Because at the end of the day, we need to be the change that we want to see out there in the world. For me, I think it's exciting, and unfortunately, we've even as well come to the end of the show, but I think we've given our opinion. So, and it's a question of doing more research and see how best we could get out there, if possible. But I want to try and get the minister himself to actually come to the show and actually discuss. What do you think about it?
No, definitely. Let's get the gentleman here to tell us.
Yeah, no, definitely. Anyway, this is all that we had for you today, right here on 360 Biz. My name is Tebogo Mafodi and Bulelani Balabala. Catch us right here next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. If ever you've just tuned in, you've missed out on an interesting discussion around being dropped, having a junk status as a country. But you can always go to www.cliffcentral.com, go to podcast to actually catch the podcast, or you can even go to your phone and download the Cliff Central app to actually hear more about the discussion that we had and many other shows that we've had. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. My name is Tebogo Mafodi, and Bulelani, we are out.
Cliffcentral.com.